An Elegant Weapon is brought to you by Nemesis Studios.
An elegant weapon for the more civilized age.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to An Elegant Weapon, episode 245. My name is J.J.M. Clark, J. the Jedi, Ross, Jedi J. And as always, it's so wonderful to have all you beautiful babies back here with me. We're in the L5J studio. Of course, that's where. This week on the show, Motor City Comic Con 2017, Part 3. Our final installment of our Motor City extravaganza for this year. Very, very excited for you all to hear it. This one comes from deep within the trenches, straight from Artist's Alley. This year, we speak with Ben Goldsmith and Kayla Valerio of the Seance Room. Fantastic new discovery. Probably my favorite new discovery of the show this year. We speak with Miss Cosmic Casey Pierce, the writer behind Nora and Pieces of Madness. We also speak with Source Point presser Gary Sobeck. It's good times. Indeed, following that, a conversation with the man, Mr. Dan Doherty, the man behind Touching Evil and Beardo. After that, the El Arto boys, that's right, John Marroquin, Jack Fragg, Aman, who's pushing Jiu-Jitsu Jesus, and Eric Gutierrez. After that, a conversation with Dave Patterson of Dave's Nerd Compendium, fellow podcaster from the Pod Bros Network, and Heather Miles, fellow podcaster herself. She pops in on that conversation. Following that, we talk to the firecracker, Mr. Chris Brown. He's the owner of Comics and More, fantastic comic book shop in Michigan. He's also the host of the Comics and More Show podcast. Y'all got to check that out. Closing out the show this year, we bring you The Darkness. We bring you The Darkalicious One. Closing out part three of Motor City Comic Con 2017, our very, very good friend, Mr. Dirk Manning.
This is madness!
So that's the roll call. Not much more to it than that. We jump behind the tables and we bring it to you real. Like I said, deep from within the trenches, where it all goes down, the most important place in any Comic-Con Artist's Alley. Thank you one more time to Miriam, to Adam, to Jeff, to Chris, to Denny, to Derek, all you wonderful, wonderful people. Thank you once again for letting An Elegant Weapon be part of the party. Thanks to Dave and Bob of Podcast Detroit. Thanks for giving us a home, fellas. We love you all. Until next year's Motor City Comic Con, that's all we're going to have this week on An Elegant Weapon. Enjoy.
Now that we're done with all that Travis nonsense, let's move on to the real talent behind Source Point Press. Kids, I'm here with Ben Goldsmith.
I can't wait to meet Travis. I've actually only ever seen...
You don't want to meet
it's
Travis.
Behind this curtain and this giant green head of his. It's about 10 feet tall. And I hear, like, wheels and cogs whirring in the behind the curtain. But I've never seen him, actually.
You don't want to bother seeing what's behind the curtain.
Oh, okay.
Kayla Bellagio.
Bellagio.
She owns the Bellagio Hotel.
Yeah.
Valerio.
Sounds way fancier
Valerio.
Than it is.
Valerio.
Yeah.
And you're from New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Originally from Miami. I moved to Brooklyn about 4 years ago.
Right on.
Brooklyn.
Holding it down. Where the hell are you from again?
Boston.
Boston.
Boston kids. I'm one of them Boston kids. Yeah. If someone doesn't buy the comic, I just blame them. I say, hey, what do you think? You're better than me?
Yeah.
You think you're better than me? We're getting refreshments
Wild
now.
Berry Asylum. I'm excited.
Be careful opening those.
I will. No more
like
Faygo incidents.
Those fucking things around.
Faygo incidents.
Have you heard of the Faygo incidents?
No, but you know what? I'm going to start a podcast called Faygo incidents.
Yeah. I'll tell you what happened a couple years ago. I moderated a Dirk's Right or Wrong panel.
Yeah.
And you know, as you're just sitting there before you start, we're kind of chatting. The whole audience can hear us. Right? It's one of the small panel rooms. And I'm like, what is that? We don't have that in Canada.
We don't have that in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
It is. It's like a Michigan thing. And I said, what is that? He's like, oh, rock and rye. You don't know rock and rye, right?
Oh, my
so
God.
So he puts it in front of me. He's like, here you go.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Oh. It's just a Faygo drink, rock and rye. So I open it to try it. and it explodes like a nuclear bomb. Just and all no. I had a puddle of Faygo sitting in my crotch, and there's dirt for all of my equipment and the table.
Oh no, you must have been a sticky mess.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. So Dirk pulls out his little hanky. And he's just, oh, I'm so sorry. He's trying to clean it up.
He was just trying to like cop a feel and like pat you down.
Oh yeah,
a
totally.
Bit.
But also like, just a hanky. Why does he also just pull out a Q-tip and like try to help? Like, what's a hanky gonna do?
He really just wanted to touch you. And he was like,
I had enough Dirk touching me, especially this weekend.
Sorry.
I did see the video on Facebook. From, yeah, I did.
Oh, God.
I did. Wait, there
it's
was
an
video.
Adventure at Motor City, kids. Yeah,
there was video.
You know what? If there was, I swear to God, if he had leaned in and put his tongue in your ear and it came out the other ear, I wouldn't have been shocked.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either.
That's the song he says that I inspire him to sing it.
Oh, great.
Turn the Page. I don't.
You know, I'm a Metallica like, fan.
No idea.
Yeah. I don't know where that comes from. That song, I don't know. But it's good times, either way, I guess, right?
Well, so, you looked like you were having fun. I will definitely say that.
I was having fun.
Yeah.
You know,
this sounds like the worst
you gotta
time.
You got to go with it. So the Faygo thing, though, so there's that split second, though, where the audience is not sure how I'm going to take
it. Oh, this, yeah, right.
But I put him in ease right away. We're making jokes. I just kind of sat there like, as Dirk's like dabbing at my crotch area, right? So we cleaned it up best as we could.
As best as you could.
And we went on, and I was just sticky and crap for the rest
oh
of the day.
God,
so that became, because that was, I left it in. I didn't edit that out.
Oh, good.
Because I released it as an episode, right? Because I recorded it, and I left all of that in there, and that's how the show starts.
Yeah.
And that's
great. It became known as the Faygo incident.
Well, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and part of the appeal is the honesty of it, like the rawness of actually just finding out what people are doing.
You don't have to censor yourself in any way. It's just, you know.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous, and especially that's my style. I'm very gorilla.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
I don't prepare shit.
So for the sake of the podcast listener, I've only actually known you for probably about a month now.
Yeah, we just met in Philly.
Yeah.
It was awesome to meet you there because, you know, I'm part of that whole shit show over there.
Well, it's really wild because I feel like you're more or less like Source Point adjacent, right? Like you're really kind of just like a part of the crew now. Yeah, is that fair to say?
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I've been taken in wonderful ways, and I greatly appreciate it. But, I mean, I've always... See, what happened was, it was getting Drunk on Comics is why I first came out to Motor City, right? Because we were all podcasting buddies. So I was like, yeah, I'll come out to Michigan. It's only 3.5 hours from Toronto. Okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
That's
like what I would do to drive to Kayla in Brooklyn.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I came out, and that first year was the most magical... cheesy as it sounds, like you, and we all just fell in love with each other. It just felt like I'd known all these people forever.
Yeah, that's right.
Casey and
Casey's
hit it
great.
Off right away. Right, at, you know?
Well, Kayla, this is your first con, and you said the same thing about like.
Yeah,
everybody's.
This is my first con with these guys. I'm like, and I just met you a couple days ago. You've been great, but yeah, I'm like, I told Ben, I was like, I'm a little nervous. Like, I feel like I'm going to make an awful impression on everyone because I'm just. I know my humor is terrible. I'm incredibly awkward.
I thought you'd
I'm
been
like,
fantastic.
I'm going to be such a lame-o. They're going to be like, we can never have this girl.
You fit right in.
Yeah,
you
I know.
Fit right
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I was like pleasantly surprised. I was
well,
like,
you're not alone. My boy Stan Kanapka is here for the first time.
Yeah. Stan.
Point, you know, dropping the rejected, which is very, very cool. But here's the thing.
It's very, very good.
You bring up that fact of, you know, this is like an extended family for me. Mm. Yet somehow, I show up at Motor City Comic Con, looking at the books, and I see something I've not heard a single word
about. I know, you told me that the other day. He's like, what's this? And I'm like,
I'm not afraid to say it, even if it sounds like someone dropped the ball.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't even know about
this. More out on
this.
Yeah. I don't know how it got by.
I just have to say, what a master of transitions Jason Clark
is. I'm
sorry, but... What a beautiful transition to the book. I'm like...
He threw a little shade at everyone, though, for, like, not telling him about
good.
It.
I don't mind.
Keep telling him that.
People I love. But because... Partly, I think I'm going to be a little bit biased. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but this is right up my alley.
Oh,
this
awesome.
This is the kind of shit that
I think
made
it
for me. And
cool.
I saw it, I was just like, how? That's why I'm extra surprised. I didn't know.
Oh, well, and then
so,
for the podcast listener, too.
Yeah.
So when Jason came up to us this morning looking for his copy, we were sold out.
God, but that worked out in my favor in a way.
Because you got the better copy.
Because you got the,
Yeah. Which should have been put aside for me in the first place. But let's talk about it.
Yeah, sure.
Give me your spiel, elevator.
Yeah, man. So this has been great because I've actually been able to nail that down here. and for the podcast, it's a little tricky because I don't have to book the show, but what it is Twilight Zone meets Tales from the Crypt. There's a guy who owns a mansion wherein there are six ghosts. Now, each ghost represents a different theme. So, for instance, an old train conductor for time. There's a little boy holding his own head for death. Now, what would happen is you'd end up going into the seance room. Based on your deepest, darkest moral underpinning, one of those ghosts would come to fruition and force you to face that with no reprieve. So you will either bend to it or break to it based on your psychosis and your mental fortitude.
What is wrong with you?
Not a whole lot's right. So let's start with that.
All right.
So that's the entire idea, and each one is a completely self-contained issue, like an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Okay.
Did you ever watch The Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch them in order?
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, you didn't have to.
You don't have to do the same thing with Seance Room, same
that's
thing.
Awesome.
Because
awesome.
The ghosts stay the same, the guy who owns it stays the same, who's in control of all of them.
Yeah.
Right.
But who comes there and what their moral underpinning is, that's what's going to tell the story.
Nice.
So this first one, if I may be so bold, is more or less about a politician who is kept to task about the things that he says, and that they mean something to actual humans.
Timely.
And
yeah, it was, which is what I was kind of concerned about. I told Matt, I was like, I feel like just with everything that's going on, like with the election and all this stuff, I'm like, maybe it's not the best time to do that, but in all fairness, Ben had written the story so long ago, and I had started it way before the election and all that other stuff, so I'm like, it just happened to be fitting, you know, and... You know, I'm like, it's been received well. It hasn't upset anyone.
Yeah,
I'm
we're on day three right now, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the podcast in terms of, like, setting.
Yeah.
So we're on day three, and we've had people come up to us. And so this is my first con selling this book. A woman came up to me earlier, and she was coming at me fast. Now, I would brace myself to get slapped. I'm not joking. I thought she was going to come up to me.
Yeah, he thought this lady was going to...
Because I assumed someone was going to come in and be like, you know, you told me it was a comic book and it had, you know, these moral tales and better, you know, and it might offend some people. Came up and gave him a big hug. But because it is a little bit on the rougher side of things, it will piss people off.
Yeah, it's a little
It will definitely piss someone off.
But it's just funny because that lady, little backstory, she bought a book from us on Friday, came back Saturday to tell us that she read it at her hotel room and she loved it. She was really happy with it. And then she came back in today just to say hi and check in and see how everything was going.
She's so sweet.
I gave her a free print. I was like, you've been such a great customer. I'm like, we were talking about you yesterday and how great you've been and supportive and stuff like that. And we just wanted to give you a big thanks. But yeah, she like, awesome. She just like... She's smaller, so I think she just probably has, like, a quick gait to keep up with everyone. So it was just really cute. So, like, Ben's like, wait, can I curse? Like,
Yeah, okay.
He's like, oh, shit, I think this lady's going to come at me hard. I was like, no, I think she kind of slowed down a little bit, and she's like, I'm super excited with the book. I read it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, see,
yeah.
We're worried for no reason. Yeah. But he was, like, ready to get hit.
Well, and what...
And I'm like, that lady's like half your size.
Well, that's the thing. I'm all of 6'2", 250 pounds too, so like I shouldn't have been worried, but I was.
Yeah, you really.
You know
what?
Because I just want to. I want people to be happy.
It'd be like your nana trying to smack you in the mouth.
Yeah, she was a sweet old lady. I'd have felt bad.
You're gonna brace yourself. You're not gonna be happy with, but it's gonna like you'll let it happen.
So
you're not gonna do anything.
And just so everyone knows too, the next issue's not gonna be political. Like, they're all. It's literally all tales of humanity is the big thing.
Right.
All humanity.
Sounds
and
great.
One thing that we haven't even talked about yet is Kayla's unbelievable art.
That's what pulled me in.
Bingo.
This is gorgeous.
Silver Sharpie.
Dad.
Sorry. Dad,
Devin is interrupting.
God.
Dad.
I
don't care.
Not your show. My show.
Bad Devin. Put it down. Put it back.
Yes. Tell us.
Drop it.
This beautiful, beautiful work.
So I've basically kind of, I mean, the great thing about SourcePoint is like I've been able to kind of create my own aesthetic and look to it, and I've always been really inspired by Art Deco and Art Nouveau artwork.
The entire theme is, Kayla came up with this theme of the whole book, but I'll let you tell about that, but I just want to make sure people know that that's like...
Yeah, like there's going to be some influence of those like old 20s, like classic vintage magicians posters with like the big font, like that's why I kind of designed the font that way, but just like a little more modern, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be slick,
hey guys,
but it's still going to be kind of creepy I just wanted to look hauntingly beautiful. I mean, that's, I think, the best way I can describe it.
And your goal.
Thank you. You know, all the covers are going to be red and gold and black and violets and stuff like that. So this one, the covers are definitely going to be hand-painted. So this one was just like inks, watercolor, acrylic. There's a couple details I had to do digitally. But the covers I want to do paintings.
Oh, my goodness.
As far as the interiors go, it's just done like any other book. I'm like, you pencil it first, and I'm terrible at penciling. Mostly everything I've been doing is just like really figuring it out once I ink it. I'm like, I rush the pencils, and then I just, because I'm the one doing both, like, the three processes, the penciling, the inking, and the coloring, so I gotta have the freedom of, like, kind of half-assing pencils and then just making sure my inks are right. Because I don't have to worry about anyone else being like, dude, what's supposed to fucking go here?
Yeah.
But it's really great. So I'm like, I'll do the solid inks, a lot of ink washes, and then, like, sometimes I got a little carried away and I over-rendered and got really painterly with it, and then all the color is done digitally.
Awesome.
So, I mean, it's done like any other comic. It's just, it's me doing everything. So I have the liberty to play around, get a little experimental, and then, you know, make things just as traditional as I need to, you know.
I think it's going to be,
yeah, I'm really excited.
You know, I'm a big fan of that. I love when the painting kind of aesthetic comes into the comics.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sean Seal, you know, fantastic stuff. And there's a few books, though. There's a book called Neon Black by a guy, Kevin Briones, same thing.
Oh, okay,
he
neat.
All himself, he writes it as well. He's just,
awesome.
He's a little talented.
Yeah.
This is getting more popular.
Yeah, I can only hope.
I love it. I think it will continue. Well, Travis is smart enough to get on top of it.
Well, honestly, so I, like, kind of pulled him aside, and I was like, Travis. And he gave me this look like I was going to ask him something stupid. And he's like, what? Yeah. I was like, I kind of have an idea. I really, my end goal is, like, getting a couple, like, several Seance issues out of the way.
Right.
Maybe picking up another project. Working with them on other projects they might send my way. But ideally, one of my big career goals is to do a painted graphic novel. So, because in school, I studied under George Pratt, who was known for his Enemy Ace series. He did these painted Wolverine and Suke comic run. He's always been known for, like, the painted graphic novel, and he's been a big influence on my life and my career, because, like, he was my mentor, and, like, you know, we still keep in touch, and super cool dude, and that was one of the things. I was like, so for me, growing up, I would go to comic book stores, but me being a girl and, like, my mom not being about it, I would never be able to pick stuff up, you know? Like,
I
fell in love with comics when I was a little older, and in school, and learning about the process, and it really comes down to the art of storytelling, right? And then how you take these scripts and the stuff that these write, and then, like, really bringing it to life, but still putting your own spin on it. And I think the best thing about this project is Ben lets me do that. You know, like, I have friends in the industry, and sometimes they clash with their writer, and there's things that are written that don't make sense, and they're like, no. So funny enough, Ben bought a print from me at a convention years ago, and I was actually not at my table. I stepped away to go to the bathroom or something, and he was still there, and I'm like, why is this kid hovering at my table? And he was like, no, he just really wanted to buy, like, an old Catwoman print I was selling, and he really liked it, and we ended up staying in touch because he was just a fan of my work.
Right.
And funny enough, he's like, yeah, when I got signed up somewhere, would you want to work on something? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, because with my luck, I just don't expect things to pan out.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll believe it when I see it. And then, lo and behold, a year later, he's like, hey, so I got a contract. Do you want to work on a project? And I was like, oh, shit, this kid did it. I'm going to commit. So I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And I happen to be attracted to this story the most of the scripts he sent me, because I'm like, it's right up my alley too, the same way it is for you. I love that kind of stuff. So so I figured, I'm like, you know what? We get along well. We're on the same page about a lot of things, and I feel like it's probably been the best pairing that I probably could have asked for.
That's awesome.
Because, we're on the... And it's good, because, like, sometimes I'm like, hey, man, this stuff doesn't work, or this is really great here, and, like, we have the liberty to kind of go back and forth and figure out what does and doesn't work, which is really nice. I mean, that's how he and I started working together, and how...
You know what? Can I steal her for a second? She's got business. So, Kayla, I'm going to jump in here.
I'm going to end this off now, because you guys are going to hook up, come back on the show. We're going to do a proper hour sit-down.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay, great.
We're going to talk all about it, but thanks for your time now, guys.
Oh, my God, no,
I give you every minute of my day. You know that.
Yeah, definitely.
Kayla, thank you.
Thank you so much.
This moment, it begins. You have to sign
and number 500 copies of the new edition of Pieces of Madness.
And it is my privilege to do so.
It looks beautiful.
Thank you.
It looks gorgeous.
It turned out really sharp. You know, Ryan Lee did a stellar job on the cover. And, you know, we have the slipcase, they're individually numbered. And I couldn't be happier because now, you know, we have the two bonus stories and it features illustrations from the latest and greatest in literary art, such as Bruce Gerlach, Kelly O'Hara, Mab Minor, and a slew of others. And I couldn't be more proud of this team.
That's amazing, Casey. Where did this design come from as far as the packaging?
Oh, that's Joshua Werner. He really designed this. He had given me a template that he thought he idiot-proofed, but not idiot-proofed enough for me to format the book. And but you know what? He stayed up. There were a lot of late nights for him. I don't know if he maybe even got an hour of sleep before work. But he designed everything. He formatted the book. He designed the slipcover, even right down to the logos, all that stuff.
It looks cool.
He's our art director.
It's like DVD-esque, you know what I mean?
I said they look like DVD collections, absolutely.
That's a cool thing to have on your shelf. Look, we have people interested. Hello.
Hello.
Don't let us stop you from interacting. Good stuff. That's, what is that? That's, what's that movie?
Sucker Punch, Baby Doll.
Any other highlights from the weekend? Any other exciting things occurred?
You know what? I met Neil Adams earlier.
Nice.
And I got a Muhammad Ali Superman print from him from a neighbor. And, you know, I gave him a business card just, you know, for shits and grins. And I said, you know, I'm a horror and science fiction author. I know you probably get a lot of these, but, you know, here you go. And as I walked away, I looked back and he took a picture of it. So that meant a lot to me. So
that's very nice.
That would be really cool to hear from Neil Adams, wouldn't it? Oh, I know.
And the cops get you. It's nuts. David Hayes.
What up, yo?
My compadre, horror author David Hayes.
Compadre.
You are much sharper than me, my friend. And you stayed out later.
I've been hanging out with Jay Bosgett too much this weekend.
Oh, God.
So it's like I'm stuck in pun mode. You know what I mean?
That's easy to do.
So, yeah, Neil Adams, that's exciting. I got his Batman Joker card.
Oh, yeah.
A couple years ago. Yeah.
I saw his trade Savage. That looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's just everywhere. I don't think I go to cons if Neil Adams isn't at anymore.
No, he is tearing it up. He reminds me of, like, the new Ernie Hudson. Remember when he was, like, everywhere?
Yeah.
I'm like, dang. Doing, like, gas station signings.
I finally had a Ron Perlman signing.
Yeah?
I was at Dirk and Derek Becker's panel for the podcast, and, you know, how for a comic creator to be on podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing. And he took us back to the green room to come through. And
oh, cool.
Ron Perlman just passed right the fuck out in a chair. Like, fucking toast.
I feel him.
The old man wants his bed.
Right.
You need your bed?
Yes. This old lady wants her bed. I feel old.
Nice.
I'm getting too old for this shit.
All right, then. So what happens now? Nora 3?
Yes, Nora 3 is done. It didn't make it to the printer in time, unfortunately. But we
it's
will...
It's close.
Yeah, oh, it's done. So we will be at the Comic Signal, though, June 10th in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Nice.
So it should be there. Again, that's June 10th. And hey, our panel that you moderated for Comic Book Syndicate just posted.
That's right. At least the preview. Did they put the rest
They
of it
just
up?
Put it up.
Oh,
and I,
awesome.
I shared it everywhere. Yeah, of course, the marketing and branding panel called The New Landscape 101. And we look good. We sound good.
Whatever. I was there. I said maybe 20 things. You ran that panel. Fantastic.
No, I haven't watched it yet. I haven't watched it. But
try not to be too critical because I know you're going to be.
Oh,
but
God,
it's
yeah.
It's really, really good.
Well, even in the preview, I'm like, I'm chomping on a cough drop because I was getting over being sick.
Well, lots of people were sick at that time. They
yeah, it was weird.
They took home with me, too. But, yeah, big thanks to Mike and Jolie and Comic Book Syndicate for giving you that opportunity and me the opportunity through your opportunity.
Yeah, it was a class act, that whole convention was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was very honored to be a part of it and very honored that you moderated for me.
Oh,
it was excellent. So, yeah, and you can find that now because I shared it everywhere.
Right. Do you want to try it again? Do you want to keep that going, like a Dirk thing, like a regular
Yeah,
panel?
I would love to. I would love to take that, to, you know, for you, excuse me, for you promoters out there, if you want me to bring a marketing and branding panel to you, it also was how to sell a script as well, just let me know. So we shared that at facebook.com/cosmiccasey, both with K's. It's on my Twitter as well. So yeah, you can find that panel. There a lot of good stuff in there, I thought.
And as well, you can find Nora at sourcepointpress.com.
Yep, absolutely.
Or at pretty much any comic convention you go to.
Right, just look
Search
for the
Source Point Press.
This big red Source Point logo.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
They're like masts on a ship.
Nice. Powerful Casey Pierce. Thank you, love.
Thank you.
Gary Solbach.
Oh, Jesus.
What's going on, brother?
Nothing.
How's the weekend been?
Not bad at all.
That's excellent to hear. Tell me what's going on. What are you pushing? What are you hustling?
We're hustling Salvagers. We're hustling Holliston, the Michigan Comics Collective Horror Anthology, 13 Little Hells, which I have a story in.
Nice, nice.
And Steve drew it, so it looks decent.
That's excellent. Has it been a successful weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good. You got your brother over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Had to drag him along, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
You ever think you might be able to just, like, break free?
No, the world doesn't want that. The world doesn't want the Sobek broken. Travis is the only one that wants that.
Well, Travis wants evil things.
Yes, he does.
He has evil plans.
He has machinations.
That's good times. Yeah. All right, well, got anything you want to tell people? Anything you want to plug?
Roaring 20s will be out by the end of the year.
Very, very good.
Dinosaurs in the 1920s. Doesn't get better than that.
That sounds great. You make sure you hit me up. We'll have
we got
a good
we
chat
got
about
some
that.
Art to show people, too, up here.
All right, right on, man. Excellent, Gary Sobek.
Yeah.
Be cool.
You too.
Dan Doherty fans, Dan Doherty would like to say hello to you.
Hello, fans of me. This is Dan Doherty recovering from a brutal sinus infection.
Oh, man.
I'm good.
I should probably
lead with that information, but...
Well, you know, it's good. It builds a little bit of sympathy.
Yeah,
it's
I need to kind of get people on in my corner, you know,
yes.
let them rally around me if I could do that, just to feed off of that energy and recover. So I don't have to go to the doctor.
Nice.
I think that's better, right?
I think for in this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any medical situation.
I think rather than universal health care, let's just go on a podcast and garner up sympathy for ourselves, and then that should cure
reasonable.
All of my ailments. Yeah.
Absolutely. Legit. What's exciting and new? Because I know things are exciting and new.
A lot. I've got a new book coming out. It's called Do You Speak Fish? It's a kid's book that I illustrated with DJ Corchin.
Cool.
Yep, that's coming out in June. And just had Touching Evil 9 come out in April, just in time for C2E2. So that's the ninth issue of my creator-owned series.
Oh, that's a wonderful series.
Thank you. I've got my band is about to release a vinyl record, and we're going to play an opening act for Bare Naked Ladies and Living Color.
There you go.
And, yeah,
I'm
so...
maybe not. I guess Bare Naked... Just, I guess in my mind, Living Color would be at the top of that
it's,
ladder.
It's they definitely. I mean, like to me, it's like Living Color is such like a.
Such a it's a
weird combo. Plus, they're kind of like a legend at this point.
Yes.
Because they kind of owned it for that.
Who's
that era.
Come? How's that gonna work? I can't picture BNL fans mixed in within Living Color.
I'm sure it'll work. I mean, because it's 90s era stuff. So I guess that's kind of the idea. I'm guessing, but
right.
Either way, I'm happy we're opening for them. So,
right, so what's your band? I've never actually heard your band. So what's the deal?
My band's On the Off Chance is the name of the band, and we are kind of like a rock blues kind of band with a couple songwriters. So we kind of have I'd say a 70s rock meets you know the multi singer lead singer kind of vibe where there's Steve Asham who's the one songwriter and there's me who's the other one. So we trade off. Singing
right.
Lead duties, and then we have four-part harmony in there, so it's
that
pretty.
That sounds cool. I
yeah.
Think you're a customer.
Oh,
you're a customer.
I think I do.
You want to give him money for something? Because don't let
I
me stop that. Oh, we are, but you go right ahead.
Actually, be kind of interesting for the
yeah, yeah.
for the live vibe of this. Yeah.
I'm wondering if you take a credit if you're set up for that or if
yeah.
it's cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. You rocking the square?
Yeah, I'm rocking the square.
Nice.
Just trying to decide.
Yeah, just let me know. Yeah, I'm here just chilling with my buddy here. Yeah.
Very cool, man. How can I hear it? Can you hear it?
I'll tell you what, just because I like you.
Oh, goodness. Look
hold
at
on.
This.
Oh, I've got a couple. Here we go.
Oh, very cool.
That's
Thank
for
you.
You. I'm giving you
very
a copy
much,
of it.
Man. Very
That's the
much.
Debut album. We just got it on CD, and we actually kickstarted a vinyl version of it about a month or so ago.
Right, I saw that.
Right,
yeah.
And it's in production now. It takes about 8 to 12 weeks to make a vinyl record. So we're looking at I think it's like end of June, early July release, and we're going to try to have a show in Chicago to celebrate that.
That's very cool, man. You've got, like, I guess back in the day when we first started talking, like, what, 4 years ago when I first came to Motor City, and, you know, I was turned on to you for Touching Evil.
I think it was, I think we met at a Fantasticon, didn't we?
I've never been to Fantasticon.
No?
Nope. Never been.
Okay, it must have been something else. Maybe Fanfare? I hate to say that one.
I've only been to Grand Rapids and this show in Michigan.
Okay.
Only two shows I've been to.
R.I.P.
You know? So.
Okay. Well, regardless, we met
about four years ago.
So, you're right.
It was Touching Evil. I got, you know, turned on to your work.
Yeah.
And it's become quite prolific. Of course, you were doing Beardo. But Beardo's gotten so extensive, its own library.
Yeah.
You know, a thousand no's and stuff.
Yeah.
Cranking it out. Has it been a tiring year? Has it been...
Oh, yeah.
Satisfying? Do you still feel like the push to go?
I definitely feel the push because I kind of have to. I mean, this is what I do professionally, and I love it, obviously. But, you know, I got a baby to feed. I got a future to build. I got all that stuff. But I do enjoy it, and I also I've been blessed with some good collaborators, too. So, like, we kind of feed off each other energy-wise.
Yeah,
you know,
that's nice.
When
yeah.
I'm maybe not most creative in terms of writing, I always have somebody I can work with and make something. And DJ's always been a great collaborator for that. I'll be doing something with Dirk in the future, too.
Oh,
yeah, we're talking about it.
Very cool. Like I was telling you last night, kids, you got to check out Beardo, especially for the kids in Toronto familiar with this podcast. I know you know Ty Templeton's Bun Tunes, and it's in the very, very similar vein as far as Beardo is your real life experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit of a fictionalized sprinkle on top.
A little bit. Just to keep it fun.
Just to keep it fun
yeah.
and funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But how is at this point, having shared so many of your personal family experiences with the public, are you just completely comfortable with it now? Has it caused stuff? Like, how's the wife feel?
She's okay. I mean, she's fine with it. We've always set some ground rules as to what I wouldn't put in there.
Right.
I've been pretty good with it, and I know where to, like, draw the line, I think. I've gotten comfortable with it to a certain extent, but I also, you know, what's been nice is that every phase of my life has always had, for each book, has always had something that I could just talk about, which without necessarily getting too personal, like, you know, talking about now that I'm a parent, like that's a universal experience. So
yes.
People get it, whether it's my experience or theirs, it's like, oh yeah, that's what babies do. That's what, you know, that's what being a dad is. That's what it is. So you don't have to be so like, I don't have to share my dirt. I just kind of have to share funny, you know, like universal side of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great stuff, Dan.
Thanks,
Jake. Appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat with us.
Anytime.
Sites, where can people find everything? The usual.
Yes, my website is beardocomics.com, and then you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr under @beardocomics.
And also, your side work, by the way, kids. Get on there. He does some wonderful Pooh stuff.
Yeah.
Some great stuff with Pooh. Wonderful prints. Very family-friendly, wonderful stuff. I don't know if I call it Touching Evil quite.
No.
Family-friendly.
No.
But lots of stuff. Dan, you're a wonderful, kind-hearted individual. Thank you for chatting with us.
My pleasure.
Very cool. Dan Doherty, kids. I don't know. I feel like all I'm seeing at the El Ardo booth right now is just mass confusion. Are you guys keeping it together or what?
No.
No?
We don't do that.
Why not?
We thrive in chaos.
Or anarchy.
Yeah, yeah.
El Ardo is an anarchistic type
there
of
you go.
Organization.
Exactly.
How you doing, John?
Good. How you doing, man?
Very good. This is John at Marikin.
Yeah.
Good weekend?
Hmm?
Good weekend?
Yeah, yeah.
How are sales and stuff like that?
Today is slow, but we had a good weekend.
It's Sunday.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell the people all about what the outfit is, El Arto?
Basically, El Arto started with me and Chris. When we met, we made a little studio for ourselves just to draw out of, and eventually caught on for a couple of our friends that were doing comics, kind of joined in, so just a little band, just an imprint, really not a publishing house, per se,
it's
just like it's like the Legends imprint that he used to do, like Dark Horse, kind of like that, little studio group, so.
You guys are a tight crew, though. Were you friends before all this started? How'd you all meet each other?
Yeah, me and Chris met each other doing comics, but Eric I've known since high school together.
Okay.
We're good friends in high school, and then,
right on.
Tom, we met at Wizard World Chicago about 4 or 5 years ago. He's from Iowa.
Right on.
Jeremiah's his boy from Iowa, so we just all met doing cons.
So,
That's about it.
There's money. Money moving.
Money's nice.
Money's
nice.
You're buying some of these, right? Do it. Look at them. They're amazing. Look at me. I'm pimping out your shit.
There you go.
Our podcasting session. All right, I'm going to move on down the line. This is John Marikine.
Thank you, man.
Good times.
Nice talking to you.
Yes, let's keep going. Who's next, Amon? You're next.
What's up? How's
How
it going?
You? Tell the people who you are, what you do.
I'm Amon. I do lettering and writing, and I work with Jack Fragg here.
Nice.
I mostly do sales.
Right on. You've had a good weekend?
Yeah, it was really fun. A lot of people got Jiu-Jitsu Jesus. Got some custom art from Jack.
Right,
it was
right.
real fun. Had a great time.
Tell me about Jiu-Jitsu Jesus.
Jiu-Jitsu Jesus. Jesus comes back as a Jiu-Jitsu master to fight evil. He has everyone... comes up to a table with Cthulhu, both Satans, old Hitler.
Oh, good Lord, look at that.
Dracula.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's terrible.
It looks absolutely terribly wonderful.
And he starts off by battling Hollywood monsters in this first issue. The next issue, he battles Buddha and Trump and his cronies. Oh, yeah.
You guys are ridiculous. I absolutely love it.
Thank you so much.
Good times. Yeah. All right, we keep moving down the line.
Thank you, yeah.
We're doing this El Harto.
Sorry. Yeah.
Hey there.
Tell the people who you are and what you're doing here.
I am Thomas Finley, a.k.a. Jack Fragg, as my pen name, and I like to do comics. Been doing them for quite a while. Finally found Jiu-Jitsu Jesus. It's got a little traction, and the fans seem to like it and laugh. So that's
a great idea.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I'm a true believer of, you know, making comics, so I was in it for the, you know, the long haul, but it's nice to actually get one that, you know,
You guys just improve it so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, you obviously, you put hard work into it, you take it seriously, but you don't take it seriously to the point that, you know, you're going to sacrifice having the fun you all seem to have.
And, you know, we have to go out and have fun with each other, so, you know, sometimes Sunday mornings are a little tough, but,
yes,
you know, and we're ready for it.
They
get harder and harder every year, but we keep coming back and not learning.
Right on. There's a, like a fanzine type comic, like a really indie comic that came out of Toronto a bunch of years ago called Zombie Jesus.
Nice.
And I got two issues. I got Zombie Jesus versus Robot Hitler.
Cool.
And Zombie Jesus versus, I can't remember what the second one was, but he came back and he was a hero and he would fight with the nails that are like stuck in
the
fight and stuff. I love that stuff,
man.
Just take the piss right out of it.
Where
did the idea come from?
I guess it was the Book of Revelations, and then I thought, you know, let's have him come back and let's give him some great one-liners, you know,
talking crap as he
does some martial arts moves. And that's kind of where it came, just kind of fun place. And then it kind of wrote itself, you know.
Does he know jiu-jitsu just because he's Jesus, or does he learn it?
He's going to learn it. The first one, all he does is beat bad guys up. Then we kind of get in that Mary's going to be his master and, like, teach him it. And there'll be a little backstory kind of creeping in that, where it came from, his origin. Yeah. And there's going to be 12 apostles, so we haven't worked it in, but we just figured, you know, and he's taught them all the jiu-jitsu, and we don't know where we're going with it yet.
It's his American top team, all his disciples.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome, and kind of sends them out to, you know, spread the word, and I think they're all going to have some kind of story sometime, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, that sounds like good fun.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going in this mad party. We're almost near the end. How's this event finishing off, Mr. Eric
Gutierrez?
What's
up, brother? How are you doing?
I'm good. Good weekend.
I have to say, this is like the first time I'm doing your show, man.
I think we might have talked once before. I have to look back in the Motor City.
This is the first.
Are you sure?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
I feel like we did. Well, either way, welcome to an LA.
It might be a haze, man, you know. Well, thank you for having me.
So what's your take on all this El Ardo nonsense?
we're pretty cool, diverse, tight crew. Cool thing about us, as you know, everybody brings something different to the table, man, you know?
Whether it's
mariachi, jiu-jitsu, or my comic book, Max Inebriated Rabbit, I think there's a flavor for everybody, man, and there's a voice there. Everybody has a voice, you know, so... Everybody's amazing, you know, everybody does their thing, and everybody has their own talents, and we're, you know, it's just us.
So tell me about Max.
Max is, I've been working on Max, well, I had the idea for a while, like, it was conceived, like, back in 2005.
Oh, right, huh?
It was kind of a dark time for me at that time, you know, I was at a job I hated.
Right.
Financially, I wasn't doing too good.
Shitty days.
Oh, it was horrible.
Right.
And I was, like, believe it or not, that was my most, like, it was my creative, I guess, Zenith or something. You know,
okay,
just like
yeah.
I started reading a shit ton of Bukowskis.
Right.
I devoured Bukowski. I wrote a screenplay, which we shot, and it's still being made in post-production.
Right on.
But then Max came to me. And I had a, you know, huge Robert Crumb influence.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and I love Fritz the Cat. I love any, like, anthropomorphic, like Ralph Bakshi, you know.
Yeah.
There's something about that where you can tell a story. Anyway, sort of like horror movies where you can say whatever you want through these funny animals.
Yeah.
But at the same time, be gritty, subversive. And I like that. I always like that. I tended to gravitate towards that. So I kind
of
wanted to bring that vibe back.
It's like the kangaroos and Tank Girl.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, man.
No, good.
Spitting everywhere.
That's all right.
But, you know, it's like, like I said, there's. I wanted to bring that vibe back, you know what I mean? So,
sure.
That's what I'm going with it. You know, it's like a really grimy, gritty, just, you know, a little degenerate rabbit. It takes place in Detroit, so.
Right on.
Based on a lot of shit that I've seen, people that I've known, you know, it's a hodgepodge of that.
Right,
so, yeah.
Right. How many motor cities have you done now?
This would be my third in a row.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. It's a great show, man.
It is.
Eric, what does this show mean to you?
Well, first and foremost, because it is my hometown. I mean, I am from Detroit.
Right.
You know, if you can't do it up in your own hometown then you shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean?
There
so,
you go.
But no, just for that fact alone that it is Michigan and it's getting bigger.
Yeah, oh,
and
biggest
you know,
year yet. And this is my fourth year.
Yeah.
Biggest year yet, easily, man.
So it means a lot.
For all you guys. Like,
oh yeah.
Sales are good, books are moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving books.
I haven't heard no to that question yet today.
Right.
So I love to hear that. You know?
That's the thing, like Motor City, you're gonna do good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's great to see everybody. Your peers, your friends, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah.
Are you lifelong Detroit? Like born and
raised? Oh yeah, born and raised, man. John was born and raised. Well, he moved
John
out. He lives in Wyoming,
you
know.
You guys have been friends the longest.
Yeah, we went to high school together.
Right.
We used to draw in English class instead of actually doing work. And
nice.
But no, we go way back.
Excellent. Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. And it's funny because I always tell the story about how me and John, you know, we didn't see each other for a while after, you know how that happens, you lose touch.
Yeah.
I met him again and he's telling me, yeah, I'm doing comic books now, he got me into it. But as a kid, I introduced him to, I showed him Dead World for the first time.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and we're like kids, like reading this gritty, like the first zombie comic book.
Totally.
Caliber, Gary Reed.
Right.
And then it all comes full circle, John introduces me to Gary.
Oh.
And that was like, to me, that was the best thing that ever happened.
You know,
man.
This is the second time this has come up today.
Oh, man.
I love
Gary.
It would have been his 61st
birthday
today. But all love out to Gary Reed and the family. I think I might have met him once, but I'm not too sure. But from what I hear, he had a huge influence on a lot of this community. So.
Yeah, I don't think he realized how influential he was. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was always honest. It's just, you know, he's influential, obviously.
And he's the type of critic you want to have where from what I hear, he was honest.
Hold no punches.
Yeah, and he wanted you to do the best you could, so.
One of the greatest things he ever told me, I go, after I gave him Max, and I seen him again, I'm like, hey, Gary, so what you think about Max? He goes, oh, yeah, your little rabbit book? It's funny. That was great. I was like, all right, at least he liked it. That's good.
That's great. All right, anything you want to plug other than that? Can people find us somewhere right now?
Soon, it'll probably be at Comixology, Max.
Okay.
But also, issue 3, it will be debuting. I'll have a book signing at Comics and More.
Right.
In Madison Heights. The Chris Brown owns it. It's my boy.
Yes, Chris Brown. Yes.
Yeah, good dude. Yes, you know.
Yeah.
But issue 3, I'll have a book signing there. It'll premiere, so come on out to see me. I'll sign your issue 3.
Right on.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, what we're going to do sometime in the future, kids, is we'll have a little bit of an El Arto series. And we'll go through the lineup. We'll get Ichi on for an hour each, and we'll do a nice little dossier
of
the whole thing. But, Eric, thank you so much
for
chatting today.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. That's El Arto, the crew, kids. Hey, everybody, say goodbye to the kids.
Woo-woo, goodbye.
Oh, wait, one more question.
Yeah.
Speedy Gonzalez, racist?
Funny. They didn't, you know, I don't know.
Good enough.
I didn't take it personal.
Let's
put it that way.
All right, take it easy, Dad.
The time has come. Join hands as we bring. together our mystic powers.
How's it going, brother?
Dave Patterson! Dave's new companion. How's it going?
Pretty good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fucking great. I'm slowing down. Starting to get to that loss of all, you know. I don't even know what I'm talking about at this point.
Is it time to leave the Kanye? I'm tired.
I like just walking around in a haze. You know, but the voice and the feet, and they're all like, screw you. You know what I mean?
You don't have any arch support in those.
I have the pads in, Heather. It's Heather Miles. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm tired, as we're discussing.
And you still have to drive.
I have nothing left. Brain is... Aaron's driving. I don't even know.
Why do you think he brings a wife? Yeah, she's a drive.
Why don't you just... Why don't you just go by boat?
By boat? From Toronto to...
Yeah, I thought you were in Windsor.
No, I'm in Toronto. We're just outside of Toronto.
You're crazy, man. You're diehard.
I know, Taylor.
He's... He is the Mel Gibson of podcasting.
Nice.
The Braveheart.
Maybe Danny Glover. Maybe. It's like a 4-hour drive. It's not too bad, you know. So it's a very scenic route with all the windmills and stuff, you know. So any favorite moments from the weekend? Anything sticking out in your guys' minds?
Getting Will Wheaton to say, damn it, Dave, don't be a dick.
Very, very nice. Did you record that? Like,
no, it was a signed autograph.
Excellent. How about you?
Seeing Kelly LeBrock.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, right on. Did you get a photo op or an autograph?
I stayed in on the panel on Friday.
Oh, very cool. Was it a fun panel?
Yeah.
I hear she's exciting. Nice.
Yeah, she was hilarious. Yeah, and she kept zinging Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, couldn't have been too hard, right?
Come on, it's Molly or it's Russ Griswold.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody's
getting good coverage as well this weekend?
Yeah.
Are we what?
Coverage. Press.
Oh, I was wondering. Yeah.
Yes.
Coverage.
About an hour's worth of interviews already.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. I don't think I got anything left. I'm done. I'm going to end this.
He's tapping out.
I'm here with Heather Miles and Dave Patterson. See, my voice is starting to do this thing, too. That's it, kids. That is our adventure for Motor City Comic Con 2017. Where are they going to find your coverage, Dave?
You can find it on Dave's Nerd Compendium. It's a Pod Bros podcast. Podbros.com/DN or podcast/Dave's Nerd Compendium. iTunes, Stitcher, Tuned In, Podbean. I think that's all of them.
That's more than enough, I'm sure. Heather, where will they find your coverage?
Tinfoil Hat with Heather on Pod Bros Network.
Right on. How are they? I hear a lot about Pod Bros, but I've never like interacted or who runs the Pod Bros?
The Podfather, John Brewski.
You know what I love? That it's become a thing where every network head is referred to as the Podfather by all their, you know, shows. Like,
I'm struggling
to find the word shows. This
you're
is
the
ridiculous.
Podfather.
He has
point
the ring.
Oh, yeah.
He has the ring. We kiss the ring.
Oh, really? Maybe I should get a ring. Hey, for POI?
Yeah.
You know? But we're more like, because of me and Josh and Hawkes, we're more like the family, like the syndicate. You know what I mean? Like, we're more like, you know, the five families together rather than the one superior godfather.
Well, it's all like a round table. You have King Arthur, Galahad, Lancelot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way it feels.
Right. Are you on any networks?
Yeah, Pod Bros.
Oh, you guys are both on Pod Bros.
Yeah.
Do they share?
Do we share? Ooh.
Yeah, with other networks? Are they like an exclusive type ideal?
Certain shows are exclusive. Certain shows have come to us from other networks.
Right.
But most of our exclusivity is just we say Pod Bros once and we're good. If for some reason we want to leave, we take all our material with us.
But I'm saying, is there any reason for you to not be on POI and Pod Bros at the same time?
Nobody's offered.
Then why the hell aren't you on POI yet?
Nobody's offered.
We'll talk, guys. We'll spread these wings the more they can hear. Hear that, kids? We're all making pod. Thank you very much, guys.
May the force be with you.
As with you.
Exterminate!
because we're here with Chris Brown.
What is happening, my friend? How you been?
With you, I've been great. Well, you know, a lot of shit's happening with you.
Well, I've got a lot of stuff going on. We just started a podcast recently, Comics and More Show podcast, been working with Terrell and Rowan Rain doing the BAM Show, you know, our web series, which we've got on YouTube, and then just general, you know, comic bookery.
You own a comic book shop.
I own a comic shop, so yeah, I've been doing a lot of that nonsense. Comics and More, located at 28059 John Hart Road, Madison Heights, Michigan, 4071. You can always call us at 248-399-3213. We're in Madison Heights, which is, I do this a lot.
So, yeah, half hour from here, trips coming out here, we're even closer
from the border, really. If you came over through Windsor, we're 15 minutes from the border.
That's awesome. Yeah, not far at all. That's Comics and More, Chris Brown, Damascus Bainbridge.
Dude, my friend.
Nice meeting you.
Thanks, guys.
I am the end of Motor City Comic Con 2017.
Yes.
This show has been insane. Jay is my brother from another mother and father. I love this man. We talk every time we're together. Fact that we are at, what time is it? It is 3:37 on Sunday. This is the first chance we even had to put a microphone in front of my face to say goodbye to all of you. It's testament to how freaking amazing Motor City Comic Con is. I got the karaoke Jay on Friday night. They serenaded you. He's my muse. We got the karaoke. We didn't get a chance to pod. Saturday was insane. Karaoke'd your sweet lady with some very sweet Motorhead.
Yes.
Did not get a chance to pod.
Simon, the Bisley.
Now we are Sunday. It is 3:37 in the afternoon. The show is ending. It is still crazy. I'm in the process of selling a book to someone. I'm very excited to read it. That's why I gotta go. And we still don't have time to properly pod, but we will soon. Jay is my dude. You are also fortunate. I love you, brother. You're so fortunate to be listening to this show. Keep listening. Keep being awesome. And I will be back to talk to all of you and Jay soon.
Kids, that's Dirk Manning. That is all we are going to have this year for Motor City Comic Con 2000.